Snowden. Fire crews say it was caused by a lightning strike. A mom and her 16-year-old son were home at the time of the fire and made it out safely. If you would like to donate, visit alabamanews.net. Cleanup continues across the state today after severe weather moved through on Saturday. Local crews responded to trees down on power lines and homes. No major injuries were reported in central Alabama. And state troopers are investigating after two people died in a crash Saturday. This happened just after 3:30 Saturday morning on Interstate 85, just outside of Shorter. Troopers say a car left the road and overturned after hitting another car. The driver of the second car has minor injuries. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Lowe's has the supplies pros like you use most, and will even help you save. Get up to 30% off 15 bats, 20 rolls, or 30 bags of select in-stock Owens Corning or Johns Manville fiberglass insulation. And save 15% on your next purchase of 10 or more rigid, EMT, and PVC electrical conduit and fittings. Order at lowesforpros.com and pick up in store where our pro loaders will be ready to load you up so you can get back to the job site faster. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid 116 to 122. Selection varies by location, U.S. only.
The following statement is from a paparazzi who claims to have witnessed Hulu's reality TV house party.
All right, so here's some Bravo drama. I catch Melissa Gorga going from her hotel to this party in Beverly Hills, and the first thing I see when I get there is Jax Taylor leaving. They say he got into some argument with Captain Lee over their social media feud, or could have been a beef with James Kennedy. Whatever, I got the shot.
Reality or not, we'll never know. What we do know, Hulu has reality TV. Start your free trial today. Learn more at Hulu.com.
A1 Plumbing.
Listen, I need a plumber over here right now.
Let's see. We could get to that in about 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Look, I was installing a new toilet and the water line broke. Now I'm standing in about 3 feet of water and it's still rising fast.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'll give you $50 extra if you can send someone right now.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Okay, $100, but you need to get here right now.
All right, keep your shirt on. What's that address?
I'm at 3301 Center Avenue at the Boston Airport.
Must have changed his mind.
Whether your problem is big or small, Cole Plumbing can fix it right, usually the first time and as economically as possible. With our experienced and background-checked employees, we take pride in knowing that we are one of the most trusted companies in the area. When there is trouble with your bowl, call on Cole, 279-8919, or go to coleplumbing.com.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Monday. Starting your week out, right? Any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket, except for Red Top. No, we said Red Top was good.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely.
And then then first-time callers get your name put in twice. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Red Top. Red Top, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. How are you today, my friend?
Good, and I have served my time. So
on the basket and also for the county, right?
Yes, sir. That's right. So put me back in 12-13. First of all, Nancy Pelosi yesterday morning, I brought this up earlier, but wow. On George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, we played it.
Oh, God. And she looked so bad.
Let me tell you what, I'm now scared of the lady and worried about the lady. She is just so focused on getting Trump.
Yeah, it's OCD, obsessive compulsive. And she's definitely got many disorders. So, it's a madness. And I do believe it's now that she's holding on, she's going to do everything she can to ruin Donald Trump's reputation during the election. And
absolutely.
That's a new kind of political campaigning. Well, you might as well call it campaigning for the Democrats, because this will be 4 years of us having to put up with her trying to ruin Donald Trump. and all of them. And it's just...
Well, let's hope we take the house back, because that's the only way you're going to stop it.
I guess so. But and we've had periods of time in our government that were extremely abusive, and this is another one of them. They're going to have a problem with Bernie because now the Democratic Party has definitely turned socialist, and they have done their job on brainwashing all these kids with climate change and all that to where they're Bernie supporters again. And to see it happen again is really scary. And Democratic Party, if they don't stop Bernie, they will be the socialist party, no doubt about it. And that's not going to bode well for them or any Americans.
It's interesting when a party, whether Republican or Democrat, has a train wreck election like 72, what they do then is the pendulum swings back the other way. So what happened is from 72, McGovern, you ended up with Jimmy Carter in 76, who was the polar opposite of him.
Yeah, yeah. It's just made mass confusion amongst. It's just ridiculous because nothing's getting done.
Yeah.
And how about the conciliatory, the peaceful nature of the grand illusion in Iran? I don't want to call him, he's a grand illusionist to me, the grand Ayatollah, whatever he is, how he wants everybody to get along in the Middle East. Is it the first time I've heard this man say that ever?
Yeah, let me tell you something. This, and I'm going to have Dr. Sorensen on tomorrow. We covered that at the opening of the show, but this is a major development. I'm not sure if you're like 2 degrees of separation from a change of government, but it is certainly in a direction that they don't want it to go.
And they did not fire any more missiles last weekend, did they?
I thought they fired some stuff at the Green Zone from a militia group.
Oh, they did?
I believe they did.
I thought I heard reports some missiles were fired on Saturday, but there was not a mention of it Sunday.
Yeah, there were some Iraqi military were hurt, not killed, and no Americans, and they believe it was a lone wolf militia operation.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But again, no coverage. And I think the press is holding the coverage back on these kind of attacks.
Well, they started to hold back on the what was going on in Iran with the protesters, and then they had gotten so vested in it, particularly in Hong Kong, they couldn't help themselves but report it. But they were very careful about the way they reported. They didn't want to give Trump credit for anything. They gave the whole credit to the airline being shot down and nothing to what Trump was saying, which was,
absolutely,
we support you.
And, you know, and kudos again to the people in Hong Kong. I can't believe these people are standing up to the Chinese government. They are tough.
Let me tell you something. When you see trends like this, and you saw it with Margaret Thatcher being elected and then Ronald Reagan being elected and the Pope being changed over, and you had, it was kind of this national movement that to conservatism. Well, you've got a people uprising that's happening out here. I think that you saw it with Brexit, you saw it with Trump's vote, but you're seeing it in Hong Kong on a governmental area, and I think you're seeing it in Iran.
I think you are too, and it's very good, as a matter of fact, and demonstrative of how much people want to change and get out of these primitive ruts that they're in, especially Iran. Iran is such a paradox because it's got a lot of smart people in it. And they are out of touch.
Well,
they just don't belong. These people don't belong with the primitive society that runs it.
Yeah, Newt is going to comment on the protest in just a little bit. We'll go back to Newt. And, I mean, you know, people are going to side with freedom over a totalitarian, authoritarian government.
I would hope so. I am really looking forward to Dr. Sorensen's interview tomorrow.
He is going to, let me tell you, the reason he's not here today is at 12:30, he is doing a briefing on Iran at the Air War College. And so we're going to have the latest information when we have him on tomorrow. Did we lose him?
Brett Top.
Do you think the paint fumes got to him? Oh, I bet he muted him.
I'm sorry, my phone. Did I lose you guys?
Yeah, well, you... I was saying that... Did you hear what I said about Dr. Sorensen?
Yes, I did. Okay. And that is great. We'll have great update, fresh information tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Red Top. Be good. Be safe out there. Let's do this. Let's pick up with Newt here. We're going to do this in kind of, again, a reverse order. Newt talking about the protest in Iran. Cut number three.
All right.
And go ahead.
Okay.
When I woke up this morning and I saw this headline of the New York Post, it is the American flag and the Israeli flag, and the majority of the protesters are on the periphery of those two flags.
Refusing
instead of standing,
to walk on them.
Yes, where they used to walk on it. They used to yell, death to America, and many of them still do, but it was wipe Israel off the face of the earth, death to America. This is historic, isn't it?
Well, look, I think it is. Now, you have the problem. They've got about a million people in the militia and the police and the army. So overthrowing the regime is not going to be easy.
Right.
But I think it's very, I think we should have the same attitude towards demonstrators in Iran that we have about demonstrators in Hong Kong.
Yep.
We defend the right of people to demonstrate. And frankly, we should indicate that we will seek to try for war crimes, mm-hmm. any Iranian who kills a demonstrator. I think we should be very aggressively pro-Iranian.
Well, and our president, when he spoke, when he did his first rally a few days ago, and then in that Farsi tweet that he also wrote in America, in English, he said, stop killing your protesters, the great people of Iran. He continues to talk about how great they are and how much opportunity they would have if things were different with the regime.
Well, look, I mean, first of all, the Persians have a very long and extraordinary history. There's great pride among the Persian community worldwide. And in the end, as Secretary Pompeo said, people actually like to be yep. free. I mean, if we're in a competition between people who like to be in a dictatorship and people who like to be free, in the long run, the people who like to be free are going to win the competition.
Dr. Sorensen told me something that I did not know. That 50% of the population of Iran is under the age of 35.
Yep.
You remember, he had always commented on they like muscle cars, they like their music.
Oh, sure.
And this kind of stuff. And having heard that and learned that, then I go back and look at the videos that are there, and this is just a mass of young people with a peppering of older people that are in there. But That's something to consider. Now, I think that the Iranian rebel forces, rebellion forces, could do. You know, they got the press out of town. They could do some real damage here. But
you can almost guarantee they will, because I think I was reminded this weekend, listening to an expert, whether it's Iran or North Korea, or any regime like that, one of the best attributes, well, what they're looking for in the regime is loyalty. So if any group of people starts breaking
that,
they're going to make an example of those folks.
Nothing like a little authoritarian or totalitarian government here. Okay, let's pick up with back with Newt. This is at the very beginning of this interview. Now, I love Newt Gingrich's insight. He's going to be asked about Meghan and the Prince.
Oh, Lord.
And so, but he turns this over into Pelosi and overshadowing Pelosi and what the impact of that is politically. I love the way he thinks.
Mr. Speaker, we just saw talking to Stuart Varney. We put his business knowledge on the side to get his British knowledge. What about you weighing in? Why is America and the world so obsessed with Harry and Meghan leaving the royal family?
You know, I was thinking about poor Nancy Pelosi. Here is her big week. She's spent months building it up. Now, as Dave Winston, who does polling, wrote in a column recently, every single week independents are more and more opposed to the impeachment process. So she's actually losing ground. But she finally gets to a big week, and Meghan and Harry drown her. I mean, it tells you how little the average American believes that this impeachment is real. That if you ask them, would you rather talk about Meghan and Harry or about Pelosi and impeachment, I'll bet you it's 9-1 in favor of Meghan and Harry.
That's because you're right, it is real.
And I think that's part of it. Yeah, it is. Well, look, we love soap operas. Somebody mentioned earlier I was watching and you guys were talking about Grace Kelly. Well, Grace Kelly was a princess before she became a princess.
Right.
I mean, she was a beautiful woman. People loved, you know, gossiping. That was Hollywood in its golden age. And in a way, this gets you right in the middle of it. The Queen calls for the big meeting. And, of course, people have watched The Crown and they've watched other films. And they have a, feel like they have a much deeper sense of the royal family. And we've always had in America this love-hate relationship. We rebelled, we became independent, but down deep, we still kind of like following what happens. And I remember when Queen Elizabeth was coronated, it was an enormous story, and it just huge viewership. It was one of the first big television events. And people, and she was young and she was beautiful. Now, she's served now longer than any queen in English history, so it's been a while. But I think this is just a perfect example of how totally screwed up the Democrats are. They can't even get out from under the royal family.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's just pathetic.
It really is. I mean, and you take that and the Iran situation, and then she had obviously planned to do the talk show circuit, and I think she was thinking that there was going to be something different that was going to be happening here. And I mean, that was a long interview with Pelosi, a long interview. And she took up a lot of this week without David Brinkley. And I don't think she really did that well. Okay, so now Newt is going to be talking about, again, bad week for Pelosi.
So in other words, the problem for Nancy Pelosi is this is her big week and the royals are stealing her thunder. Nonetheless, she showed up, Newt, yesterday. Watch this. Here she is on This Week over on the Alphabet Channel ABC. And she's very optimistic of a world without, you know.
Let's be optimistic about the future, a future that will not have Donald Trump in the White House. One way or another, 10 months from now, we will have an election if we don't have him removed sooner. But again, he will be impeached forever.
So he will be impeached forever. I guess like Bill Clinton was impeached forever.
You know, Nancy Pelosi lives in an alternative universe. You just had the president tweet in Farsi, the most widely retweeted ever done in Farsi, which is the language of Iran.
More likes than anything else.
You have a Democratic Party now, which is in favor of the dictatorship in Iran. You have the president and the Republicans in favor of the demonstrators in the street. The demonstrators are proving every single day that everything the elite media said and everything the Democrats said was false. That, in fact, the Iranian people want freedom. They just had their only woman ever to win an Olympic medal defect.
Yep.
And what she said in defecting was brutal, about how they abuse women, they dominate women, they instruct women. I hope the president will invite her to the White House. So you have Pelosi over here on the side of an impeachment nobody wants, defending an Iranian dictatorship nobody wants, and you have the president over here cheerfully tweeting in positive ways. I suspect the president is happily watching Meghan and Harry and thinking, you know, this is terrific. I mean, what more noise could you ask for to smother Pelosi in the impeachment? Well,
did you see the Iranian athlete thing?
I mean, yeah, I did.
I'm with Newt. I would have her over the White House in a skinny, skinny minute, having her talking to the people in Iran. I think that would be awesome. She's super attractive.
Yes.
She's very articulate, and you can just tell the way she's handling herself. I mean, she is iconic. News Talk 93.1, going to be back with more right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACB.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Tired of my voice yet? It's Tiffany Coleman. My husband is Jeff Coleman, who's running for Congress. Jeff's in the moving van business, Coleman Worldwide. He's the fourth generation to run it, since his grandfather was helping people move in a horse and wagon. He started working for him when he was 10. Says he could only lift a lampshade. For a few summers, he worked with a man he just loved called Baby Cakes. Now, Baby Cakes couldn't read much, so he did the driving and the heavy lifting while Jeff was the navigator. Then came college and the best part of his life. He met me. I'll tell you about that the next time we talk.
I'm Jeff Coleman, the conservative businessman candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message. Paid for by Jeff Coleman for Congress.
Hey, this is Lyle from Marguerite's Exquisite Jewelry. You know, sometimes you might have some jewelry that's just been sitting in the drawer, out of repair, something you're not going to ever wear again, but it's an asset and has value. Bring it over to Marguerite's and let us give you an opinion on what you possibly can do with it. Whether you remake it, trade it, or even sell it to us and walk away with a check, all those are options. So anything with gold, diamonds, and gemstones, platinum, come bring it to Marguerite's, let us show it to you, and we'll give you a free idea.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Two seven two nine two two eight. That's where we are. You want to get your shots in? You better call.
Many places, but she's homeward bound. And now she walks kind of funny. I think she knows day by day by day our love grows.
Let's see here. Did I Newt Gingrich? We did the protest, but we the protest and Pelosi losing the whole ball of wax.
Most of the country is under 30, and most of them are growing up reportedly not as religious as their parents and grandparents, or, dare I say, the Grand Ayatollah. We'll see what happens. It's just amazing that 57% of the country don't approve of the president's Iranian policy, which shows you, in many ways, that the media is just jamming this narrative down their throats that some are digesting.
Well, I think this is a perennial challenge for Trump, but the truth is that despite all the biases in the news media, eventually the truth does get through. The president has had an amazing ability to go toe-to-toe with the entire liberal media and win the fight. I will say this. I do believe that Nancy Pelosi is going to have a double frustration on Election Day, because I think that President Trump is going to win re-election, and I think Kevin McCarthy is going to become Speaker of the House. So the combination of those two may lead her to move to Canada and try to live near Meghan and Harry.
That was good. I like the way he weaves things back together like that. That's my boy Newt. I like him a lot out here. Gotta get to those two things. Let me kind of go back a little bit. The whole weekend on the talk shows was spent on the contradiction of what Pompeo said, what Esper said, what Trump said, and they just were beside themselves. They are so minutia-oriented, it is unbelievable. So here's the Defense Secretary, Esper, and he didn't see specific threats against the U.S. Embassy. This is CBS. Listen to the way they do this.
The Trump administration is struggling to support the president's new explanation for the missile strike that killed Iran's most influential military commander. The president said on Friday that General Soleimani was killed because of threats to attack four American embassies. His defense secretary told Face the Nation on Sunday that he's seen no hard evidence of those threats. Weijia Zhang is at the White House for us. Weijia, good morning. What have you learned?
Well, the White House is adamant that Soleimani was about to carry out attacks on Americans and he had to be stopped. But the Secretary of Defense caused confusion yesterday when he contradicted one of President Trump's most specific claims about the nature of Soleimani's threats.
I didn't see one with regard to four embassies.
Defense Secretary Mark Esper acknowledged Sunday that he saw no specific threat against four U.S. embassies by Qasem Soleimani, contradicting President Trump, who earlier claimed that's why he authorized a strike that killed the Iranian general.
I can reveal that I believe it would have been four embassies.
But Esper insisted the lack of hard evidence did not mean the president's assumption was wrong.
What I'm saying is I share the president's view that probably my expectation was they were going to go after our embassies.
I mean, specific would mean that it's in a paragraph said four, here are the four U.S. embassies we believe will be attacked, versus they're going to be, we believe that they're collecting an attack that will include embassies, military personnel, embassy personnel, on and on and on and on. This is just parsing of words. That's all this is. This drives me nuts the way they do it. And then they get, oh, he didn't even know what he's talking about. Then Nancy Pelosi goes, he keeps changing his mind. No, I see the consistency out of this. And the consistency is more broad strokes versus specific. And you're going to hear Adam Schiff. Oh, man, Adam Schiff. Talking about parsing words. Let's do Defense Secretary Esper again. And did he really contradict Trump? Let's listen to him.
Esper's explanation mirrors how other top administration officials have tried to explain how a threat can be both imminent and vague at the same time.
Those are completely consistent thoughts, but it was very clear. Qasem Soleimani himself was plotting a broad, large-scale attack against American interests.
The White House has a long wish list for changes in Iranian behavior, including curbing nuclear weapons development and stopping support for terror proxy groups. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien said the tough stance on Iran is paying off and hinted it could force potential negotiations.
Iran is being choked off, and Iran's going to have no other choice but to come to the table.
Democrats say the discrepancies between President Trump and his inner circle add to their initial concerns that the hit on Soleimani was not justified.
They are overstating and exaggerating what the intelligence shows. And when you're talking about justifying acts that might bring us into warfare with Iran, that's a dangerous thing to do.
President Trump contradicted National Security Advisor O'Brien by tweeting he actually couldn't care less if Iran negotiated. The House has approved a resolution to limit Mr. Trump's military action against Iran, and the Senate is considering a similar bill. Gail, two Republicans have already said they would support a measure to limit the president's war powers.
Well, then change the War Powers Act. I mean, it's amazing how they selectively refer to things here. The House resolution is a zero, is a nothing. And what they're referring to in the Senate is not anywhere near what they try to project in the House. This is that if there's the Cain amendment or the Cain bill, is that if there is an attack, you're free to do whatever you want to preserve U.S. assets and lives. And so you can do what he did. I mean, it's just the media's got to do a better job in what they're doing. Dan Moore Show, I'm going to be back right after this.
The Dan Moore Show.
Is a lady.
you're going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
U.S. Foods Market Store, formerly Sunday Dinner, has everything you need for your next feast. They've changed their name, but U.S. Foods Market Store has the same friendly faces and service they've been known for since 1871. Open to the public, no membership, easy parking, and conveniently located for quick shopping. Visit them Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. at 5455 Atlanta Highway in Montgomery. You'll find everything you need for your family meal or event. U.S. Foods Market Store, formerly Sunday Dinner. We help you make it.
What's up, Montgomery? This your boy, Bama Miles, up here at Rim Time. We've been rocking with Blue Water Broadcasting for about 6 years now. If you're looking to grow your business, hit them up. They'll get you right.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News. I'm Steve Rappaport. The Justice Department saying last month's shooting at a Florida naval base was an act of terrorism. A Saudi Royal Air Force member training in the U.S. killed three people before responding officers shot him dead.
The evidence shows that the shooter was motivated by jihadist ideology. During the course of the investigation, we learned that the shooter posted a message on September 11th of this year stating the countdown has begun.
Attorney General William Barr. Another Democrat drops out.
I can't wait to get back on the campaign trail and campaign as hard as I can for whoever is the eventual nominee.
Senator Cory Booker ending his bid for the White House.
Booker is up for re-election for a Senate seat from New Jersey. Booker's decision to drop out comes after he failed to qualify for tomorrow's debate in Des Moines.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated. Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call them today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Boy, oh boy, how about a little springtime in January with frequent periods of wet weather and way above normal temperatures. Today and tonight, showers and thunderstorms are a good bet from time to time. High today, 74. Low tonight, how about 64? Then mid to upper 70s on Wednesday, more showers and thunderstorms. In fact, we could even have a risk of a few leftover showers on Thursday and still warm. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Two seven two nine two two eight. That's where we are. Let's do this. Did I do the gun thing also? Did I send you a gun in Virginia? I don't see it on there. What did I do with that? New York changed their bail because if somebody did, and Bernie Sanders wants this all across the nation, where if you don't have money for bail, you don't have to do bail. So guess what? You're under arrest, Dan. I don't have money for bail. And so this guy gets arrested for robbing and then turns around and goes, robs again. Gets arrested for robbing, then he let him go, and then go rob again. On the fourth time, he is like, he's let go, or he let go after the third time, and he robs a bank on the fourth time. Good old liberal thinking here. Let's listen in.
Serial robber is laughing all the way to the bank, as you can see from the headline of the New York Post. New York's new bail reform law is responsible for letting loose a suspected bank robber accused of holding up four banks in less than 2 weeks. He went off and robbed a fifth bank after he was released the next day. Here to react, we've got Sheriff Errol Toulon Jr. of Suffolk County, New York. What happened? So this guy had been arrested four times, and then because of the new laws, they have to release him, and then he goes and allegedly robs another bank?
That's correct. And one of the most concerning things is not only the safety of our community, but if you think about the resources of our law enforcement community, it has to continue to rearrest individuals that might have been incarcerated, you know, something that's very concerning.
Bernie Sanders tweeted out this: our cash bail system is a disgrace that disproportionately hurts black, brown, and poor Americans. New York did the right thing by reforming its bail law. It must not go backwards. When we are in the White House, we will end cash bail nationally. Cash bail, you're for eliminating that, but what New York State has done, you say, has gone over the line.
Well, you know, adding crimes like robbery to, burglary to, promoting the sexual performance of a child, are crimes that should not be incorporated in this type of legislation. And I think Senator Sanders is very incorrect in his assertion that this is a good thing. When you think about putting those that have committed robberies, burglaries, or even some sexual assaults back into our community is not the best thing.
It's just stupid. So, and the argument is, well, they don't have enough money, so therefore you can't incarcerate them. Well, it depends on a lot on what the crime is, but this is talking about robbery. Amazing. Let's continue on here.
Why did New York do this?
You know, that's something that all of us in the law enforcement community, we understand that cash bail, there are certain inequities, mm-hmm. But the crimes that have been incorporated in the legislation, obviously there was no conversation with the law enforcement community or even the district attorney's office.
So had they just fixed the cash bail thing, you'd be fine with that. But because they included all these other things, it's hard to get arrested now in New York State.
Not only arrested, it's empowering now these criminals to actually continue their criminogenic behavior.
Are New Yorkers safer than they were before?
I would say no. Why, when you think of an individual that has a mental health issue, a substance abuse issue, that's using a crime to feed their addiction,
right?
There's no way to stop their addiction. Usually they'll be incarcerated, they'll go to jail, they have an opportunity to now beat their substance abuse, but now they're returning back to our communities.
And therein lies the problem. Okay, now Rudy Giuliani was on with Judge Pinheiro. What's her name?
Jean Pinheiro.
That's what I thought. Okay. He came up with a very interesting proposition talking about impeachment. Interestingly enough, and the reason I'm playing the clip for you today, I had a law school professor who I talked to, and he asked, did I see this story? And I told him I had. And he says, this isn't too far-fetched here. And I'll get into the mechanics of what he told me yesterday.
You just wrote an article this week arguing that the Supreme Court can block this impeachment and the entire Senate trial, I should say, by declaring the impeachment unconstitutional.
Yes.
How do you do that? Explain.
Well, the general theory is, of course, that impeachment is in the hands of the House.
Right.
With unlimited power. Wrong. No such thing as unlimited power under the Constitution.
Okay.
Every constitutional power has limits. So what are the limits of impeachment? It's written right in Article 2, Section 4. It has to be treason, bribery, high crime, misdemeanor, abuse of power, and the other ridiculous obstruction of Congress. You can't find it anywhere in 18 USC. You can't find it under common law. You can't find it in Lithuanian law. It doesn't exist as crimes. So they have rendered the Constitution of the United States and its words meaningless. It's as if they took the Constitution and struck out the words.
Okay. So, if all of a sudden everything becomes political and it's nonsense that everybody quotes Gerald Ford of that anything can be impeachable because it's political. That's nonsense. Gerald Ford was not some brilliant legal scholar that was out there.
It might be, like, in a practical sense, they can go through the motions and do it, but it's going to be challenged by all sorts of smart people justifiably.
Bingo. So, yeah. And here is why what he's saying actually is good, that you need to shut this down so it doesn't happen again, and this may be the remedy for it. So let's listen to Rudy again here talking about just dismiss this trial.
Can they do that with Mitch McConnell? You know, can the president's
Mitch
lawyer
sets the rules. The rules should say that this will be governed as if it were a trial in the United States District Court under the rules of the United States
and
District
Court. And the Supreme Court is
including
not the arbiter.
The evidentiary. The rules are set by the Senate.
Right.
Then the Chief Justice interprets the rules.
Okay.
The Chief Justice will be given the power to dismiss. The Chief Justice, it will be dealt like a trial.
At what point does the Chief Justice come in and respond to a motion to dismiss?
At the very beginning of the trial, you would stand. If you had a case with a null indictment,
right.
An indictment for a non-crime, an indictment for eating ice cream, you would say, Your Honor, this is an indictment by a grand jury. It purports to be voted by the grand jury and signed by a judge.
Right.
They must have been insane when they did it because it's not a crime. I move to dismiss the indictment.
Right.
The judge looks at it and says, Counselor, you're correct. Case dismissed.
Yeah, I used to do that. Now,
why is that important? That's important because it'll never happen again.
Exactly.
The problem here is if we do go to trial, and he'll get acquitted, and they'll make fools out of themselves. I could even argue that politically it would be better to go to trial. They'll find out about Biden. They'll find out what a big crook Biden is. They'll find out that Biden just didn't make money in Iran, but he made money in China, and he made money in Iraq.
Right.
Everywhere, point man Biden.
Right.
Money Biden.
Let's assume that your request is granted and it is dismissed. What is the effect of the impeachment in the House? Can that ever be erased, or is that always there?
Well, then it becomes the only impeachment that's ever been dismissed for being non-constitutional. And I would say if it's non-constitutional, it's null and void. It was totally illegal.
So that should be null and void as well.
But if they let it happen, the next group of maybe crazy Republicans are going to go after some Democrat.
No question.
Just, you know, they like to get even.
Okay.
It's not right, but they like to get even.
Here's another little twist to this whole thing. And that is, let's say there's a new Congress in 2021, and it's a Republican majority. When you read the articles of impeachment, for you out there who are like nerdy history people like me, they're the Federalist Papers and then they're the Anti-Federalist Papers.
Mm-hmm.
Could you do an anti-Articles of Impeachment and withdraw it and basically said, we're withdrawing the impeachment that was done in 2019 for these reasons? I think that would make a hell of a lot of sense.
I think it could be done, yeah.
And then you just send it over, and then, you know, Senate could accept it. The Senate could do some real theater and not only accept it, but have it as a trial of, was this impeachment not correct? That would be interesting. And I don't think you can get 67 votes to do that. I'm not sure you'd need 67 votes. But Rudy kind of, that was an interesting proposition that Rudy had with that. And the thing that really got it to my attention is, I think that played on Friday, and I saw it on Saturday, and then he talked to me Sunday and mentioned it. And all of a sudden, I saw it differently. I saw it as kind of a cute Rudy attempt, but when he mentioned it, then that kind of changed the way I was looking at it. Okay.
Oh, no.
I know. Man, I'm sorry to do this to you, Joey. Well, Joey, oh, by the way, before we go to this, speaking of it, I've started something new in my cooking world.
Yeah?
Duck fat.
Yeah.
Have you ever had duck fat? Something cooked in duck fat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like duck fat fries?
The bingo.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
I had my first one this weekend. They're outstanding. I mean, it has this Christmas to it. So I was asking a ton of questions, and we're kind of playing around with some different things, but there are all sorts of stuff you can take, instead of fries, take potato skins and put them in there, and they turn super crispy. I mean, like, crazy crispy.
Mm.
Like, illegal crispy. So I'm wondering what I can do with this, with that, baked potatoes, but also steak. Because we're cooking in butter, so why not cook it in duck fat?
Wonder what the cows think about that. So I thought my fat was good enough for you.
But I didn't.
Oh, duck fat fries is one of my favorite things ever to have.
Where did you have duck fat fries?
It was a little bistro in Auburn. It was, I think, the first time I had them. And, yeah, served with, like, a spicy aioli and Parmesan shavings on top of that. Oh, I love duck fat. It's super flavorful.
So I did a little checking around, and so I googled in duck fat in Montgomery, Alabama. Psst, come here. You want some duck fat? And Fresh Market has it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm in. So does Whole Foods.
There you go.
So I'm in. I'm trucking down there to kind of get that. But I tell you what, I was very, very, very impressed. And particularly when you do the potato skins and you cook it and you get it on all sides and then put some cheese on it. Oh, yeah. And it's sitting there in the duck fat dancing.
Oh.
Because it knows it's going to taste weird. But it's insanely crispy.
No, this is... You can't do this. You're threatening Adam Schiff. Now you're talking about one of my favorite foods. And Suzanne on one says she has a duck fat comment. So this is a nice... Smart.
Oh, okay. This is a good segue. Maybe you saved you from Adam Schiff. Suzanne, welcome to Duck Fat there. Monday.
I'm a chef, and so I've cooked duck confit probably 1,000 times. If you're going to do the steak, watch the flash point, because duck fat has a very low flash point, and it will catch, and you will have a fire before you can even blink.
Really?
Be very careful. If you're going to do a steak, like in a cast iron skillet or something, you have to watch that pan heat, because, I mean, it will flash point so fast, it'll be like a bomb will go off in your kitchen.
Okay.
I'm not kidding.
Everybody already knows that I have a blowtorch to finish things off with. Okay, so
help, very careful.
Help me out with this thing. See, I do sous vide cooking, and would you put the duck fat in the steak in the precision cooker?
Oh, yeah, you could do that, because that way you can really control the temperature. You can do it the sous vide method. You can do it in a crock pot. You can do it as long as you can control the temperature.
Duck fat in a crock pot sounds illegal. Okay, so I put it in the precision cooker for sous vide, and then I take it out, and then I put it on the grill. Hopefully, what has happened is the duck fat has been absorbed into the steak.
Absorbed into the steak.
And then I flash it on the grill, and then I put it in a pan. But you're warning me that if I pour the remainder part of the duck fat...
Don't put the oil in the pan. Don't put the duck fat in the pan, because the flash point on it is very low. I mean, you know, olive oil has a higher flash point, and olive oil is even higher than that.
Right.
Butter, because it has the cream, lowers the flash point. But, duck fat flash point is very low, and it goes very fast. And I burned up my entire kitchen.
Now, Suzanne,
Confessions of a Chef.
Suzanne, I hear what you're saying, and it's an obvious, very obvious warning to Dan. But knowing Dan, it kind of sounds like an invitation.
Yeah, really does. So,
you could do the flaming volcano, like at the hibachi restaurant.
Ah, okay.
Flames
6 feet
tall.
Except remember, stop, drop, and roll. Okay,
drop and roll.
But when we were cooking the potato skins in it. It was on an oven, but it was just, he just had it light, had it in there, didn't take long. But I'm talking about crazy crispy.
Crazy crispy, yeah. It's because the viscosity of duck fat is so thin that it really allows it to get as hot as it needs to be to get those potatoes crispy. But you can't control temperature on a stovetop as well as you think you can, especially glass. Or even on a grill. It may say 600 degrees, but it's more like 650, 670. So you just got to be very careful, because it's very low. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but I do know that it cost me about $10,000 worth of new kitchen.
Oh, my.
Was that a commercial-grade kitchen?
No, that was my own personal kitchen.
Oh, my goodness. She's uptown, Joey.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite thing to cook?
Stove, and I had a great big Viking stove. And it was a casualty of war. I've been cooking since I went to culinary school in the 90s, and then I just do, you know, some catering jobs here or there. But I love to experiment and duck confit. I went through a whole confit stage in the early 2000s.
Well, okay, so, and what's your favorite thing to cook?
My favorite thing to cook is appetizers. I could live on appetizers.
What's your favorite appetizer? This is the Dan Morris Cooking Show. What?
Sausage balls. Whoa. Those are my favorite. And I probably sell 15 to 20 dozen sausage balls every year at Christmas time. And they're my favorite thing to eat and my favorite thing to make. And sausage balls with Jezebel sauce. Jezebel sauce to make it extra good. So that's my favorite.
I need to meet you. Something else I got exposed to. Hot honey. Have you heard of that?
Hot
honey.
The hot honey that's infused with jalapenos and things like that. Try it on fried chicken. That's my favorite.
That's what you put it on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That and waffles or anything, really.
Okay. I am so glad I met you.
I'll come and bring y'all some of my sausage balls one day. You'll love them.
Well, I'd like to get to know you. I love to cook, and I love to experiment with new things. I'm very into the survey process and doing lamb and steak and chicken and fish and all sorts of stuff. I mean, it has been an eye-opener to me of taste.
It's fun. It really is. It's fun to experiment with different things.
There you go. Suzanne, thank you so much.
Y'all have a good afternoon.
You too. Saved you from Adam Schiff for a little while.
Indeed. But we still have time left.
Duck fat. Have one for duck fat. Gonna be back. Dan Morris Show on a Monday. You can tell it's light. $10,000 kitchen. Woo! And a home? Oh, my goodness. Gonna be back.
The Dan Morris Show.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Grammy-nominated Joe Bonamassa, hailed as one of the world's greatest guitar players. Rock titan Joe Bonamassa, live in concert on Thursday, February 13th at the MPAC. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Joe Bonamassa. Don't miss your chance to experience the guitar event of the year.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Yes, we took the duck fat exit there.
That was a nice detour.
That was a nice detour. But it didn't save you.
No, it didn't.
Okay, guys, get your barf bags out. We're going to go to Adam Schiff with Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation.
We're joined now by the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff. You are part of the Gang of Eight, so you're part of that group that received the very classified briefing that the defense secretary was referring to. He said the intelligence was exquisite and it was incredibly detailed. Do you quibble with his characterization of what you were told?
I don't quibble with it. I think he's just plain wrong. There was no discussion in the Gang of Eight briefings that these are the four embassies that are being targeted, and we have exquisite intelligence that shows these are the specific targets.
What about U.S. Embassy Baghdad? He said that was specifically
I don't recall, frankly, in that briefing there being a specific discussion about bombing the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. The briefing was much more along the lines, frankly, of something that Secretary Pompeo admitted the other day when he said that we don't know precisely where and we don't know precisely when. That was much more the nature of the briefing that we got. In the view of the briefers, there was plotting. There was an effort to escalate being planned, but they didn't have specificity. And so when you hear the president out there on Fox, he is fudging the intelligence. And when you hear the secretary say, well, that wasn't what the intelligence said, but that's my personal belief, he is fudging. When Secretary Pompeo was on your show last week and made the claim that the intelligence analysis was that taking Soleimani out would improve our security and leaving him in would make us less safe, that is also fudging. That's not an intelligence conclusion. That is Pompeo's personal opinion.
Is that a polite way of saying they're lying?
Well, you could certainly put it that way, but I think what they are doing is they are overstating and exaggerating what the intelligence shows. And when you're talking about justifying acts that might bring us into warfare with Iran, that's a dangerous thing to do.
Talking about a guy parsing words, very careful the way he kind of talked about that. The accuracy of what Pompeo said, we don't know the time or the date. I mean, those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Right, and it also sounds like he just admitted they had plenty of evidence of plotting and that it was going to be big and against U.S. asset.
Well, they had already attacked the Baghdad embassy. And all they're saying is that we're going to do it again. We just don't know the time of it. I do not like this guy whatsoever. Can I fit one more in or am I done?
Yeah, one more.
Let's do it.
But to be fair, because you are the Intel Committee chairman, you know the Intel Committee the intelligence community works in assessments, in judgments, in putting together mosaics, pieces of information to come to a conclusion. When Esper is working in beliefs and projections, isn't that just how it works in possibilities and not necessarily always having one conclusive piece of the exact place and time?
Well, that's exactly right. But that means that you need to be very clear about what you're saying the intelligence shows and what it doesn't. If we were to ask the intelligence agencies, will taking Soleimani out make us safer or less safe? They would say to us, Congressman, that's a policy judgment that the policy makers need to make. What we can tell you is, if you take him out, here are the likely repercussions. Those repercussions that we were briefed about were far more dangerous to this country than anything that Soleimani was plotting, as far as I can tell. And so when you're talking about taking out a top government official of another nation, an act that might bring us into outright warfare, the burden of imminence, of showing imminence with very great specifics, I think is very high.
I don't like this guy at all. I'm sorry. Joe?